is Miles Blumhardt, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Thirty-four minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. So much happening in the sports world. We've got this kind of interesting game going on now between Philadelphia and Atlanta. We've got so much football to talk about, basketball, and look at this. Like I said, sports fans in Colorado, the rich just get richer. Colorado Avalanche starting up their season tomorrow night. Susan and Cheryl, love that. The live studio audience here on to talk with us about that game tomorrow and look at the season ahead. Kyle Fredrickson, Colorado Avalanche beat writer at the Denver Gazette. Kyle, my man, we're almost there. It didn't sneak up on you, but I think a lot of people are like, whoa, we're already here. It's go time.
Yeah, didn't this team just win the cup?
Like yesterday.
Sure that happened, right. But no, it's hey, baby, it's hockey season all year round in Colorado when you got a team this good.
And you're right. It does seem like it was just yesterday. It was such a, you know, it was a short time because they won it in such a, you know, fairly quick fashion. But at the same time, it felt like forever. We just couldn't wait to see this Avs team finally get over that hump, win that third cup. Let me ask you this, Kyle, going into it. Is this a fear that hockey teams have? I suppose basketball teams could have. You go such a long way through the playoffs. You go all the way through. Is there a concern that first month, hey, we want to try to ease guys in. You know, we don't want to overdo it right off the bat. Or do hockey coaches think like that?
Yeah, it's a valid question for sure, just being that the Avalanche really didn't have all that much time off the ice. I think, you know, the good news is that for the modern athlete, they really don't need much of a break, right? I mean, a lot of these guys said that, you know, having 2 or 3 weeks to totally get away from hockey, do nothing but hang out with family, that was enough. And if anything, getting back on the ice and being there for training camp, most everybody was in shape. But I will say there is a little bit of hangover in terms of just a couple of injuries on the team. You know, going into opening night on Wednesday, the Avs are going to be without two of their top forwards. One that everyone knows, Gabe Landeskog, the captain. His timeline's still pretty much unknown when he's going to be back on the ice. And then Darren Helm is another forward, a guy who was part of that bottom six, who is also injured. But they expect him to be back a little bit quicker. So those are two of the main guys who, you know, just based on how long the year went last season, nursing some of those, you know, bumps and bruises. But for the most part, this is a team that pretty much has its entire core back. It's healthy, and, you know, to your point, they really haven't had a lot of time off the ice. So if anything, you know, we might see the chemistry be there from day one.
Kyle Fredrickson joining us. He's our Colorado Avalanche insider from the Denver Gazette. What are some of the concerns? Obviously, you outlined those and maybe some injuries kind of coming into it. But anything that sticks out to you? Obviously, the goalie position. We've got a change there with Georgiev. But what else are you looking at? I mean, are you looking at the goalie position as a concern? What are some of the negatives, perhaps, that you're taking with you, Kyle, as you start the season out for the Avs?
Yeah, you know, I think there's a reason why the Avs are favored to win again. It's a hard thing to do. Only 8 franchises in NHL history have actually won consecutive cups. But if you're looking to, you know, maybe see where there might be cracks in this team, I look 2 places. And first, you know, to your point, it's got to be the goaltender situation. I think there's a lot of faith within the organization that Alexander Georgiev could be a true number one in this league. And even if he's not, they feel pretty good about having a tandem of Georgiev and Francois, but it's a really big unknown, mostly just being that Georgiev is a guy who's never had this opportunity to be the starter. It's what he's always wanted. When he was in New York, he was playing behind one of the league's very best in Shesterkin, but now he's here, and now he has this chance. So I don't know that there's a whole lot of concern that he's not going to be the guy, but it's certainly an unknown. And, you know, if we look across the roster, for other question marks, I mean, I'm just going to pass over the defense. The Avs have the best defensive core in the league, and it's not even close, topped by Cale Makar and Devin Toews. But there are some questions surrounding the forward group. It's obviously top-heavy with a lot of the talent the Avs have, but losing guys like Nazem Kadri, Andre Burakovsky, you know, these were high-scoring guys who played on those second and third lines. You know, who's ready to step up to fill those roles? Alex Newhook's a guy that everyone's really excited about this year and taking a step, being a young kid who's finally maturing into a real NHL body. Evan Rodriguez is a guy they traded for in the offseason from the Penguins. He's going to slot in there. So I think more or less there's this intrigue about how everyone's going to fit, as opposed to the Avs not having enough of top quality guys to be a contender again. So, you know, if you are nitpicking, those are two areas. But on the whole, I mean, the Avs should be in a position to score 100 team points and win the division again this year, you know, barring good health.
And isn't that kind of where we are, too, with this team? Is you kind of have to nitpick. I mean, if you want to make for good sports talk, you got to nitpick, right? Because that's how good this team really is. And they're so deep that you can lose a guy like Kadri, as you mentioned, and still feel like, yeah, but we're so deep everywhere else. And even with the goalie situation, if you wanted to nitpick there, like you said, it's not like their goalie situation was the best in hockey last year either. They were just so good at everything.
Right. And, you know, and to sort of your point, we did talk to Jared Bednar after practice today. You know, this is the last full day before the Avs get going in the regular season. And I think someone posed the idea of, all right, well, you know, give us, you know, your take on how training camp went. Do you know, do you like where the team is sitting at this point? And I think Bednar's answer was something like, I don't mind it. You know, he's like, it's all right. You know, obviously this is a championship team, but I like that answer from Jared because it tells the media, it tells his players that, listen, we're not a finished product. Last year is over. It has nothing to do with this year. You know, let's see what this group can do. And I think when you have that mentality after you win a cup, that's got to make you feel good, because instead of sort of basking in your glory, you're already kind of looking ahead and trying to be the aggressor as opposed to just having that target on your back. But, yeah, let's sort of see how this team gels over the first couple months. You know, I want to see how Gorgiev fits, you know, with this defense and learning the schemes before we make wholesale judgments just about how good he is, because I think we'll see a good mix of Francouz and Gorgiev early on. But other than that, you know, I think this team is loaded and ready to put on a show just like last year.
Kyle Fredrickson joining us from the Denver Gazette. Kyle, what kind of pressure is there on the Avs? I mean, when you look at the great players that they do have locked up, of course, the Nathan McKinnons, the Kale McCars, you look at this not as, hey, that was not just a flash in the pan. I think all the projections, you know, have this team, a lot of people, a lot of insiders or whatever, have the Avs favored to repeat. We're talking bigger stuff than that, though. We're talking dynasty and all that. So what kind of pressure is there on those team leaders and on Bednar to know, hey, we could be a big-time dynasty in this state?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I think to some degree, you know, they put that pressure on themselves by being so good, and that's where every team wants to be. But looking at just the future of this team and using that word dynasty, you know, let's watch them play some games first before we talk up that talk fully. But it's certainly in that championship window. You know, anytime you have a Cale Makar and a Nathan McKinnon locked up for the next, you know, 5 to 9 years, essentially, between those two guys, that's a huge window of having two of the top five very best players in the league, regardless of position, on your team. So if you want to start there, you know, that's the reason why all these prognosticators are saying, you know, maybe not just one championship. Can they string together, you know, several over the course of a few years? And in terms of pressure, you know, I think if things go wrong for the Avalanche, it's a lot of that's going to fall on Jared Bednar. You know, why can't you get this roster in a position where you're going to compete? But, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. I think more than anything, the Avs welcome that pressure. They, you know, they want to be the team that everyone circles on their schedule. And if you look at, you know, all the professional sports teams in town and all the college teams in town, you know, there's no team that really commands that sort of respect that the Avs do right now. And I think they're enjoying it.
No question. Start the season off tomorrow night, Kyle, against Chicago. I can't wait. I'm glad we're here. We finally get an opportunity to see this Avs team. Like you said, though, to start the segment, it feels like just yesterday. So we'll see if there's some rust that needs to be shaken off a bit throughout this next week or so.
Yeah, and it's going to be a fun night, Wednesday night. You know, championship banner, first game starting this new season. You know, I just love the fact that Denver and Colorado is embracing this team and people are excited, you know, especially at a time when the Broncos just keep laying down stinkers. So I'll gladly be focusing on hockey for the rest of the fall if that works for you.
Hey, Kyle, since we have you, that's a good point. You know, as far as fan involvement, fans getting excited, what is the latest from your vantage point on Altitude and Comcast and Dish Network and everything? What's the latest there? What do we know?
Yeah, so I had a story in the Denver Gazette that posted yesterday in today's paper, and essentially is just preparing fans that, you know, a fourth consecutive season is about to be lost for viewers who subscribe to Comcast who want to watch these games. And that's based on court documents, on conversations I've had with people from Altitude and Comcast. It's really at a standstill. And, of course, there are other options to watch this team. I mean, you can do DirecTV streaming. There's Fubo. There's Ivaka. A whole lot of different options. But the problem is that Comcast has such a dominant market share of the people who watch TV in this state. A lot of times, you know, it's a multi-year agreement. You're bundling your TV and your internet. It doesn't make sense to be, you know, choosing different providers for different things. You know, it's expensive to be a fan. So at this point, you know, Altitude remains on the offensive that, you know, Comcast is unfair in the terms that they've offered them. And that might be true, but at the same point, you know, the RSN world, this regional sports network world, it's crumbling. You know, whether it's the independent guys like Altitude, the big boys like Sinclair, who own Bally Sports and other networks, no one is figuring out a way to make money with this right now. And Comcast has its leverage to basically do what it wants, as, you know, one of the biggest corporations in the world. So, you know, asking them to not be aggressive and trying to monopolize their market, that's not reasonable. Comcast is going to do what it does. Here's what I'm interested in, and for listeners, you know, why does Stan Kroenke want to be in the RSN game at all? I think that's the question we ask ourselves now. You know, of course, Altitude has great programming and they have good talent over there, great people, and I would hate for them to lose their jobs. But at what point do they dissolve the network or sell the network and say, listen, we are going to do what it takes to get these on TV? Because at this point, just dealing with Comcast one-on-one and this antitrust lawsuit that's going on behind the scenes as well, there's just no easy early fix. So unless Stan Kroenke is ready to pull out and decide that he doesn't want to be in this game of distributing, you know, the rights to Comcast and DirecTV and all these big boys, I just don't see much changing. So, you know, strap in or get a new provider, because at this point, I don't think we'll be watching games on Comcast anytime soon.
Kyle, what would be the alternative if that were to happen, if the Kroenkes were like, yeah, you know what, we just can't fight this toe-to-toe anymore? What would that look like for, you know, for an Avs, Nuggets, TV provider type deal?
So it could be a number of things. You know, I think Kroenke could say, okay, let's just reconfigure this thing. We're going to lay off half of our staff. We're going to only bring you guys live streaming games. We're going to cut back on our studio shows and make it economical, you know, because they could have a product they put out there for $20, $30 a month, but they have to make that work for their business model where they're also making money. You know, are there enough Avalanche fans out there and Nuggets fans who are willing to do that? To me, that seems like a less likely option. The more likely option would be for Kroenke to say, all right, does AT&T Sportsnet, which carries the Rockies and the Golden Knights and several other teams, would they just want to take in these guys? I mean, they already have a footprint in Colorado. Maybe games just end up getting broadcast on that network or another RSN moves in. You know, it could be just something that's renamed and, you know, Altitude is gone and there's another setup of broadcasting games. So there are options out there, but they all involve, you know, pretty big decisions from Stan Kroenke. And for him, you know, he's playing the long game. Altitude might be losing money now, but when streaming becomes viable and these networks figure out how to monetize it properly, if he's holding on to those rights, all of a sudden, you know, he might be in for a cash boon. And, you know, above all else, Stan Kroenke is a businessman. You know, Altitude wants to talk about caring about fans, and I'm sure that they do. But the guy who's in charge, let's be honest, he's worried about his bottom line. And, you know, you could just ask St. Louis Rams football fans about that in St. Louis, about how much Stan Kroenke actually cares about the people who are, you know, coming to games. So it's sort of a long-winded answer, but, you know, for someone, I've covered this since 2019, and it's very fascinating to me. And I think in the next few weeks, there might be some more news coming out about, you know, what Altitude is doing to get its product out there. But I don't expect it to be tied to Comcast. They're doing their best, but at this point, it's at a standstill.
Yeah, I love that response too. In your take on this, I've been following along your coverage as well. Hey, all I'm going to say as we wrap up, I'm glad I have DirecTV. For now, I'm glad I have DirecTV.
Well, good, man. I'm glad you're still watching it. Must be TV. I mean, this is an Avalanche team that's That's as good as it's ever been in its history, so people should be able to watch.
No doubt about it. Kyle, my man, appreciate you. I'm looking forward to this. Hopefully we can kind of try to do this on a weekly basis and get your thoughts on this Avs team and probably the ongoing saga if there is more news on the altitude battle going forward.
Yeah, no doubt. I'll be following it every step of the way. Yeah, I'll be happy to hop on with you guys anytime.
All right, my man. There he is, Kyle Fredrickson, Colorado Avalanche beat writer at the Denver Gazette. Good stuff from him on this ongoing battle. And I would suggest you follow him, Kyle Fredrickson, at Twitter. So at Kyle Fredrickson on Twitter, I should say. All right, we'll take a short break. We got to crown a winner. We have a crown a winner of Top Text Tuesday. Who's it going to be? We'll find out in a few minutes. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.